Week 11 in the books, and what a wild weekend it was. Joined as always, Q, Nick, Todd. Initial thoughts of the weekend, Q.
It was wild. A lot of teams I thought would show up didn't. I think we could probably say that, and I speak for the rest of us here in the show. Big game Lane came through. Haven't said that too many times in his career. Kirby's team's in trouble. Haven't said that for probably five or six seasons. And Alabama looked dominant this week, but are they going to look dominant next week? They're a team that's Jekyll and Hyde. So it was a wild weekend.
Nick, what's your biggest takeaway?
I mean, great weekend in terms of results. Like, if people want chaos and we want, like, this 12-team playoff to kind of be just you want the full 12 teams and it's going to be a chaos, this was a perfect weekend. Like, there weren't many great games. Like, when you looked at it, like, the Ole Miss-Georgia was kind of over a little, like, midway through the third quarter. You could tell what was going to happen. LSU-Bama was done by the, like, first quarter. So there weren't a ton of great games, but definitely some very important results. Miami getting beat pretty much solidifies the ACC as a one-bid league now. BYU comeback is massive for the Big 12 if they want two in. That was my perfect. I had the BYU team total over 21.5. Perfect end on 22. You love to see that. But yeah, great results. Just as a fan of college football, but not a ton of great games. So hopefully we get a little bit more closer games next weekend.
Yeah, Ken, thanks for joining us. I'm forgetting about last week too. 0-6 for Ken. I waffled back and forth between the two big games, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss. That I had a feeling one of the big name brands were going to go down. Hats off to Lane Kiffin for finally getting a big win. Todd, what's your biggest takeaway?
Well, North Texas, 3 points. If you would have said they were going to score 3 points, I mean, when's North Texas? I think I put it on the show. They've scored like in the 35 points about 6-7 times this year, and they had 3 points against Army. That's how hard this sport is to handicap. And again, like I said, I put on social media, LSU should have let the live tiger out. They could have had 9 live tigers on the field. It still wouldn't have stopped Bama. So that was, I went to bed. Everybody made fun of me. I said I was going to bed, and Nick's like, we got BYU. We got Utah. I don't care. I was going to bed. I was bitter.
You missed probably the best game of the day, to be honest.
That's okay. I got good sleep. I feel great.
I don't know. That Missouri game ended up being the ugliest great game ever.
That might have been one of my worst beats of the year, like, not going to lie. Oklahoma money line and then, oh.
How do you have two forced fumbles
throw up for in their touchdowns? Own and a kickoff return, like, just, yeah.
It was a weekend to forget for me.
No.
Can't make those plays up.
All right, new look, AP top 25. Oregon stays in the top spot. Everybody else just kind of jumped up. I think the biggest mover, Georgia, falls 9 spots to number 11. Q insinuated it earlier. I think the Bulldogs are in trouble. Ole Miss back up there. But, I mean, I think you've just got a bottleneck of SEC teams. Texas, yeah, they're probably far and away the best team in the SEC right now. But then Tennessee, Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, all kind of right there. And then Texas A&M. What do you make of this new look? LSU kind of dropped out of their playoff hopes, but you still have a lot of SEC teams that are going to try to make that final push and get into the college football playoff.
I think the biggest takeaway, so you got Georgia, really I'll start at 10. You got, you know, Ole Miss, Georgia, Miami, Boise State. Well, this week we have a massive matchup, Ohio State, Indiana. If Indiana loses, where do they fall?
Next week.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Where do they fall in that same group? Because, I mean, you could make the case, like, is Miami a better 9-1? You know, is Georgia a better 7-2? Boise State, like, it's going to be weird if Ohio State doesn't win that game. Or if Ohio State wins that game, what do you do with Indiana? Like, was it all for nothing? This week, I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think there's probably much contention outside of the top 10 that you could justify. I think they actually got a pretty spot on this week.
I think my question is the same as last week. What does Penn State do? Like, am I just missing something from these Penn State games? Like, I get a blowout easy win this week. Who have they beat? Like, and why are they ahead of Indiana?
Like, you're getting partial name.
And they're kind of screwing it up for us. So you mentioned, like, if Indiana does lose, then Penn State and Indiana basically have the exact same resume with both losing to – they'd both be losing to Ohio State. If Indiana keeps it close, from right now, what you're telling me is Penn State would be four-ish and Indiana would drop to, like, 11 or 12 with the exact same record, exact same strength of schedule, exact same – basically exact same wins. That one's the one that confuses me. And I'll go
– Well, here's the thing. How do you have Penn State at 8-1 over a 10-0 team?
That's what I mean. Yeah, I just I that's what I'm asking. If I'm I just don't know if I, what I'm missing. Like I don't think Penn State is very good. I don't think Indiana's better than them. Tennessee's better than them. Notre Dame's better than them. Bama, Ole Miss, Georgia, kind of all speak for themselves. So it's just one of those like yes, the committee's looking at stuff, but I don't know what they're doing. Real quick, I know trying to keep this shorter. Homer, little Homer pitch for a little bit. Notre Dame. This was very good for Notre Dame. Me and my dad were talking about this kind of as those losses and wins were happening. About like where we like, let's see what the committee does. But AP at least kind of has them in a spot, which is great. Like we were kind of wondering, would they really drop Georgia below Notre Dame with a loss? Would that mean would they jump Ole Miss over Notre Dame with a loss? Would they really drop Miami from three back behind Notre Dame? So this actually was a great weekend for Notre Dame. If like according to AP, let's see what this looks like. In the playoff, I think them literally just boat racing Florida State with like worse than anybody has all year made a huge difference in that. But this was it was a good turnout for what I was expecting.
Did y'all see the Eli Drinkwitz in the post game? He said,
"Yeah, oh God.
Missouri has just, kept their playoff hopes alive."
Dude, go home.
24.
They haven't beat a top 25 yet. Like top, they haven't even beat a top 25 team yet. Just get yeah. Get out of here.
They take on South Carolina team this year or this weekend that I think South Carolina is vastly underrated. And I think we saw it in the line movement against Vanderbilt. They kind of showed that Vandy's good, but they're not that good. Not yet anyways. Todd, final takeaway.
Real quick. I mean, Nick kind of said it too. What I had was the Penn State. You know, you knew that was going to happen. I played it. James Franklin beats up on these weak teams, and that's a tough spot for Washington to come across in the whiteout game. That's a very tough atmosphere and electric atmosphere. So, and again, over Indiana, that's a joke. I know Indiana, that was a struggle against Michigan. It was an ugly game, and that game came down close, but there's no way Penn State should be over Indiana right now. And, you know, you'll see it again this week. It's a high spread. Penn State plays Purdue. He'll put a whipping on Purdue too, just to look good. But have they ever beat anybody good? No.
All right. Look into the college football playoff odds. It is really starting to take shape. I feel like with the odds market, you look Miami now kind of on the cusp, BYU in the same boat, Colorado, really a toss up there. Clemson at plus 250 now with another, what, loss? They lost this past weekend, didn't they?
No, Clemson.
No, they won, but the Miami loss gives them the tiebreaker over Clemson, too. So now they're behind SMU and Miami for the tiebreaker.
They're out. I wish I could bet the no on Indiana. That's kind of the question mark. I don't know. Minus 550 if they're going to make it. Assuming you could get like 2.5, 3-1 on the no. If they get blown out by Ohio State, which it's kind of looking like they could, Michigan kind of laid the blueprint. Michigan played a lot better than I thought they would have against Indiana. Obviously lost that one with Indiana laying two touchdowns. But is there anything here that kind of piques your interest to want to bet on?
Not really.
Not really.
All right. Looking at the championship odds, Ohio State, now you're short a shot. I don't really get that. I think Oregon's probably playing as good a football as any team in the country right now. I feel like if it was a rematch on a neutral, Oregon would win that game. Once again, I feel like you just can't trust Will Howard. He makes way too many errant throws, mistakes in the pocket. As good as that team should be, I think he's going to be the one that holds them back. I don't really justify them as being the number one team in the country right now as far as odds to win it all. Any arguments there?
Well, no, not to that. I think if I had to put a bet on anybody, it'd be Alabama 10-1. I said it backstage. If you get Jalen Milroe that just played, they, you know, Kalen DeBoer is kind of on his game coaching. they can give anybody a run for their money. The talent's there. I mean, Ryan Williams, you know, defensively, they always have talent. They're quick. The problem is you don't know that you're getting that every week. So it's a gamble in that 10-1. I will say this. I think it's a little crazy that Georgia's still 8-1 and Bama's 10-1. Bama holds the head-to-head on them. I know they have two losses, but Alabama went and just whipped LSU's ass. I mean, Georgia looked flat as could be. I've said it. This Georgia team looks the worst they have in 6 years. I don't understand how they're going to be better odds than Alabama right now.
Georgia got a big game against Tennessee this weekend. They're laying 8.5. Our website has Georgia minus 3.7. Alabama's going to be off this weekend. A lot of good games still to close out the season, but as of right now,
I think the play there is Ole Miss. Like, I think Ole Miss, like Ole Miss, you see basically we saw what we saw against that Georgia team. I know Georgia's kind of struggling and we don't think as much about them, but they did that without Trey Harris. They did it without their two best running backs. Jackson Dart was hobbled literally in the first possession.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't. So a quarterback who's averaging like 58 rushing yards a game, I believe, ran for maybe like 12. I know they rushed him a little bit, but he clearly was immobile. They had a starting safety that was out. So it's like if this team gets healthy, Trey Harris, it seems like he's close to be getting back. I'd assume either next week or a couple weeks. They don't have much left on their schedule, so probably now it's no reason to rush it. But, man, this defensive line, that front seven can put it on anybody. Like that's one of those – we talked about their stats, about how they're leading basically every statistical category on defense. And it's like this defensive line looks like one of those you saw like when Bama had it rolling and when Georgia the last few years has had it rolling and when Clemson had it rolling. Like they are just dominating teams up front. And like, especially you give them right now, they're probably like, there's a chance they get a home playoff game. And even if not, like if they're on the road, they'll probably go to a Big Ten team. But like, imagine like Ole Miss at Indiana, who you taking? Ole Miss at Penn State, who you taking? Ole Miss at, I guess, well, they could possibly get Boise. Like, so kind of where they're just shaping out. Like Ole Miss right now could be just peaking at the right time. Lane got the monkey off his back too. So I was extremely impressed with what I saw Saturday, and I definitely wouldn't overlook them.
Yeah, Ole Miss headed into a bye week. You've got to believe that that's going to do wonders for that roster to get healthy as well. New look at the Heisman odds. Travis Hunter now the shortest shot. Ashton Jeanty second, plus 300. Dylan Gabriel plus 330. Cam Ward falls to plus 800. Todd, you like anything here?
No, I mean, I would keep an eye on Milroe and Dart. I mean, it goes back to what I just want to put 20 seconds in. With the last segment, I would do Ole Miss. I think I agree with what Nick said. I like what Q said about Bama. And I'd keep an eye on Tennessee. Tennessee is a really good defense, can run the ball. It's just if the quarterback can make plays. I think that's another team, big game this weekend. So those are the three. But I would keep an eye on Dard and Milroe if you something crazy with the Heisman. Because Gabriel, real quick, Gabriel, I mean, they won, but his stats weren't mind-blowing on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually watched that a bit with my first Texans. I had that first half bet. He just didn't, like, that was, once again, it was just.
They have no interest playing. In
him. Yeah.
I think he had I think he threw for 185 yards off the top of my head.
Yeah, because they ran for like 3.6.
I don't think it's, and again, I don't think the kid out of Boise, you know, we've said it for how many weeks. If he doesn't break the record, he's not winning it. So
they're setting it up for Travis Hunter. I mean, he's just sticking around. Personally, I think anybody's wasting their money if you're not betting on Travis Hunter.
It seems like this seems like a very weak year compared to anything kind of recently, just Heisman wise.
He has numbers. They're not like extravagant on either side of the football. Yeah. They don't have 100 yards a game, you know, maybe a couple pass breakups, but his odds are still getting better and better. Like they're telling you who's going to win this thing.
I think so too.
He had nine catches, 99 yards and a touchdown.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like that's middle of the road in my opinion. To what Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith, like those guys are putting up bigger numbers the same. Like he's gonna win the Heisman. They're telling you that every week. I think what was he last week? 250?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
130? Yeah. And he had an average game. Like, right. Come on.
I'm curious to see what this weekend will hold. I think they play Utah. a little bit better of a defense. But I think Utah's been crap.
What happened this past weekend? Like, I think that was it for Utah. What's that, their fifth loss?
Yeah.
They're done.
All right, quick message from Home Field Apparel, and then the guys will take over on the other side. I've got to head out to watch my son's basketball game. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Home Field has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
All right, we're back. The real host is in. We finally got that bum out of here. Let's talk college football. No, I'm just kidding. So we're going to talk about some doom and gloom here. Nick, we were talking about it. We're just going to start fading our top three picks. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to pick your three best. They never end up being your best plays. Georgia, it was the fade lane, right? You fade him until he beat you, and this was the week. Tippy cat to it. It happened. Cincy Pitt, I thought they had all the momentum. They were having a good season. They just kind of shit the bed there. And then Arizona State came through. I mean, God, Arizona State's looking good now that they got Herm Edwards out of there. Things are up there in Arizona, and I like where the Sun Devils are headed. Scadabo, great running back. Next, let's see what we got here. Sorry, it's been a while since I hosted. Matthew. Sorry, fellas.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just looked it up and I sent it in our group because Matt asked. Indiana to miss the playoff is plus 340. So not terrible. But
that's kind of where he said.
Yeah, but that's also not going to be – the number will be worse against, like, their Ohio State money line. Yeah. So I think that's how you got to do it.
All right, Nick, take it away.
Yeah, mad at myself because on Jeff's show, on the East Coast Sports Investor show, I gave out Texas minus 21 instead of Iowa. Should have stuck with my gut. I switched it up for some reason just because I wanted a Friday play on here. Because like I said, I'm just struggling during these. So, of course, Texas hits. Iowa does not. Colorado team total hit Oregon. I was forced to watch Maryland versus Oregon in that first half because of this. Oregon, this was going to hit. And somehow, I don't even know if I've seen it or it was possible because there's only 100 yards on a football field. But Oregon gave up 5 first downs via penalty on a Maryland drive with about 4 minutes left in the second quarter. And I was just losing my mind because Maryland ended up scoring. So that was – but, I mean, good week all around. I just can't get these three right. So like you said, we're joking about just start fading these three picks of mine and take everything else I put out there on the card.
Smitty Bucks.
Yeah, 5-6. I was with you on Georgia, and I was with you. I had Virginia money line parlay. It was a parlay money line Cincy, which I really liked that play, and I matched it with UVA plus 7 against Pitt, which UVA won the outright. So, but great job by Cincy. Way to blow it for me. But yeah, I mean, tough. LSU, like I said, they got to release 9 Tigers. Brian Kelly, get in the mirror, start doing another accent. You might be somewhere else soon talking fake if you can't win some big games. Or that was a bloodbath. Kansas. Yeah, you know, I thought they would compete. I don't know about that Iowa State team. I just thought it was a good spot. I still like the head coach of Kansas. I think the quarterback's still a good player, good running back. That was a high-scoring game, but, yeah, they won the game outright. Oregon State, that was just bad. I mean, first drive of the game, they were in the red zone, drove the ball down the whole way down the field. They fumbled. They were in the red zone multiple times, kind of like the North Texas game. The same thing. I played that one, and they were in the red zone consistently and just could not put points on. So, again, good job by San Jose State. I like the coach. It was the old Navy coach, so good things for them.
Speaking of your North Texas Air Force in the same boat as North Texas. They haven't scored 36 points all games combined. Ken, you're probably not far off on that stat, to be honest. And then we'll talk Matt's. Indiana, like he said earlier, just to kind of touch on that, Michigan, you know, played better. little better effort. Indiana, you were kind of waiting for that off game. I think, like, they really haven't had one this season. That was it. But that tells you kind of what team they are. Like, they can win their off games. And I'm not saying they're going to win a title, but that's a national championship mentality. So that's good to see for Cincinnati's team. Georgia, I think we were all on the fade lane, right, until it hit. And then Alabama, you know, it was kind of the same thing. Like, fade Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly typically doesn't win his big games. He didn't. I mean, as Smitty said, you could have had 9 live Tigers out there, and none of them were catching Milroe running into the end zone. That was a bloodbath early and often. So,
I will say, I think Nick, and I know Matt for sure said it. I think Nick did too on the show on Friday about that was going to be the problem with LSU, because Reed from Texas A&M exposed that. And you saw that really quick in that game. So again, great stuff on our show. Matt said it, and I believe Nick said it too. And it really came, you know, the weather wasn't good for LSU because they do like to throw the ball. And you just, again, you can't turn the ball over. I mean, he's fumbling and throwing picks down by in the red zone. It just can't happen. And Beck too. Beck just does not look good. I mean, Beck just
throws some interceptions. Holy crap. When they show that back view, like, you're like, what are you looking at?
The one was bad. Otherwise, Beck just, I mean, I don't care who was back there. He, like, that second half, it didn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if it was Dylan Gabriel or Shadir Sanders when they're or dropping Peyton back. Manning. Like, he was, as somebody like who's like a statue back there, he was just kind of stuck. But,
Well, he said it best, and I got to give it to him. He was like, hey, we're down. They know we're, you know, we're in a pasty situation. The D-line's pinning their ears back and coming for me. And then, you know, they're playing zone coverage like, we're done. They know the pass is coming, and there's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter if you're Dan Marino or Carson Beck at that point.
I mean, think how close they were to getting shut out. Like, they were getting the ball on the 20-yard line on in the first quarter with that interception. They scored from the 20, and then that was basically it besides the field goal. So it's just – it was like, wow.
And Q, I'll say with the Indiana, because I watched a lot of that being a Michigan fan, and, I mean, it's tough watching these games. They couldn't run the ball again. I'm shocked they were as close as they were. Yeah. I mean, they can't run the ball anymore. I think they had like 69 total yards rushing. I mean,
they know you can't pass, we're just going to put 8-9 dudes in the box and make you beat us, and you're not going to beat us.
And I hate to say it, that guy is so far over his head. He is so far over his head. You're starting to feel bad for him. It's like, dude, that guy needs to be coaching at like Akron. And getting some
experience. Ball guy.
We'll see if he flips Underwood or not. If he does, there's no way they get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe I said it backstage a couple weeks ago or on the set. Like, I think they thought they were going to take some heavy punishment.
The new rumor, I don't know if you guys heard it. I heard
the Connor Stallions.
Moss is supposedly transferring there.
Really?
I've heard that from a couple different things. Yep.
Well, on the show, Connor Stallions, I just saw Barstool actually posted. So he left that team that he was interim coach, and they were just getting boat raced every week. He goes to like one of the teams in the playoffs to be like this analyst for this specific quarterback. And apparently he's trying to flip him. He's a 5-star committed LSU, and he's been throwing, hey, heard Ann Arbor is a nice place to be.
Yeah, that's Underwood, which if you see him, that guy is insane. Like, he looks like Cam Newton. Like, even if he's at those, like, even at Elite 11, it's like, wait, who's that guy compared to all the other high school guys?
He looks like a grown adult.
Was he at the LSU game this past weekend? He played. I saw some highlights of him Friday night. I think they played a high school playoff game, and he was throwing during warmups. And big time arm. And I mean, we'll see. I mean, that'd be great. I know that's the thing. I know he has the recruiting class, I think, is okay. What's coming in for next year? But again, we'll see. But I think he's just over his head. So
Matt tuning in, Indiana going into a bye. Ohio State is going to give Cincinnati every opportunity. Absolutely, right? The guy wins. You know, obviously we know Ohio State is more talented on paper. They get the better recruits. It just is what it is. But sometimes it doesn't always win. You know, I think we've said it about Ohio State. This isn't the most dominant team that we've seen. Will Howard sometimes has some question marks. So I think Matt's onto something.
Think of – we were talking about Indiana. Like, let's give them a break too. Like, that was their 10th game. And like without a bye, like you want your 10th game to be a physical Michigan team. Like eventually you're going to like, you're going to run out of steam. So it's like this, I think like Michigan is one of the last teams you want to face right there. And then yes, bye week, let's
catch your breath.
Let's focus on Ohio State. They're kind of a one-trick pony right now. So yes, please give me that. It's sitting at 9.5 right now. Please, please, please let that get into double digits and kind of a hint to where I'll be at.
Yeah, Ken and Matt, both Miller Moss to going to be a Wolverine. Wants to join a real Big Ten team. Can't blame them. So I got nothing else, fellas. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Just want to say I put three plays in the Discord already. Two of them have moved. I went ahead and took BYU -2.5 over Kansas. Kansas kind of, that was, I think that was a little bit of their Super Bowl game. Like, let's kind of bounce back. BYU, that was, they're at home. It's a 10:30 game Eastern in Provo. We've all talked about Provo. That's a night game. Shouldn't be 2.5, I don't think. So that's moved up to 3.5, probably still playable. Tennessee, Georgia, took it under 49.5. Even if Nico got banged up, didn't play the second half. They're saying he's good to go. Obviously, they don't have to say the truth. I think he is good to go, but how effective is he going to be, especially when he's already struggling, if he gets hit a couple of times. But even if he is 100%, do you trust either offense to score?
No.
Like, Tennessee's leading the country in defensive points per game. They have yet to have anybody score 20 on them. And Georgia hasn't, like, been balling out by any means. So that was an automatic under for me. And then what was the other one I was? Oh, Oregon, -14. That's already moved up to 15 against Wisconsin. So just a reason, join our Discord. Play those early. There's some weeks I like early ones, some weeks I don't. This just happened to be three of them.
Nick, I'm going to jump on that Georgia play with you. I think that's a 17-13 game all over.
Yeah.
Down to 48.5, but definitely still playable there. I think 45.5-ish, I'd probably stop.
I started running some numbers today and wrote down about five games on early leans, and that under was one that I was already on. So that's a good call, Nick. Like that. I like one, too. I like Nebraska going out to USC. I'm just not high on USC.
Dana.
Dana's going to be the offensive coordinator. That, you know, we'll see about that. But, you know, again, going to the backup now, I'm just not high on USC. I think Nebraska needs, I think, one more game to be bowl eligible.
Yeah,
head coach is a really good dog coach. I think that's one right now. I have not pulled the trigger on anything yet, but that's one I also wrote down and stuff.
Let's see, and we'll get Matt here, the last comment before we end it. Texas -13.5 versus Arkansas, free money. Well, Matt, you'll bet that, and then Arkansas will come up with an upset because that's how you're going with Arkansas Razorback gambling these days. You know what? This is going to sound like a super homer pick. I think Florida has a chance to get a money line win against LSU.
I think they do, too. I think that spot is
just
good.
Got smashed at home. Everybody's like, oh, you know, Death Valley, you never come out alive. And most of the time it's true. But, I mean, you just got destroyed. Like, now what are you playing the season for? Florida, they're trying to get bowl eligible. You know, they're getting some momentum. It sounds like DJ is probably going to play. I would imagine he's going to be a little more limited. They're not going to have any run design plays for him just to kind of try to keep that hamstring as best as possible. But Smitty said in text and in the group, man, those guys are playing really hard for Billy right now. I need them to hit this win. You know, it's to get that over 4.5 for me, fellas. Billy, make it happen. You know, they've pretty much given him that, hey, you're coming back. You know, they've essentially took the buyout money and they're going to throw it to the portal. So, like, mentality-wise – They're saying, hey, we believe in you. Go out and win these games. We think you can do it. So I think there's going to be a little juice for that team when DJ officially gets the, you know, go ahead. And I think LSU's in a bad spot to lose at, you know, in the swamp. So sounds super homer, but I think the +7.5, I think is what it opened, is definitely worth a play, if not money line.
Yeah, now it's 4.
So that's kinda, all right. Yeah, that's, well, believe that.
Yeah.
All right. Teaser, Smitty King, teaser King. So
no teasers this past weekend. No teasers.
All right, fellas. That was the last for me. You guys have anything else before we wrap it up?
I think we should be good.
Awesome.
Yep. Excited. Right. Start researching. Let's find some winners.
Maxion. Let's see. Yeah. Do we have any?
Action. We'll get some plays out. Like I said, on the Discord. I know Nick, Smitty, they're posting in there. If I post it, it's a loser. So whatever I post, just fade. If I don't post, it's a winner. Sorry. But for Smitty, Nick, myself, and Matt, who rolled out, appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you back for the Week 11 preview Friday, I would imagine. So if there's a change schedule, we'll tweet it out. But without further ado, we'll see you guys.